of Acts, first chapter of Acts, if you will. We're going to just read the first few verses together. And I know this is 4th of July for us. I'm sorry I don't have a 4th of July message to you, but I do have something I believe God's given to me that we need for this day and hour we're living in. Acts chapter 1, we'll read these verses here just in a few minutes. I heard a story this past weekend or read it. I believe I heard it from somebody about a man named John. And not John in our church, but a man named John was an older man that's been retired from the airport. And he lived so close to the airport that every day he would come out of his house and take his lawn chair and set it out there in his lawn, and he'll watch the airplanes take off and land. Every day he'll watch the airplanes take off and land. Every day John would go outside of his house and sit down in his lawn chair and watch the planes take off and land. Finally, one day he got a bright idea and he went uptown and bought some weather balloons. And he come back home and filled those weather balloons up with helium. And we all know that helium will rise. And his bright idea was to take them weather balloons filled with helium and tie it to his chair. And he had in his mind that he was going to float 100 feet above the ground and just fly around his neighborhood for a little bit and wave to the little boys and girls that would come out and wave to his neighbors that would come out and see him. So he got the weather balloons and filled them up with helium and tied them to his chair. And when he sat in a chair, he made him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and put it in his pocket. He took him a bottle of water and put it in his other pocket. And up under his arm, he had a BB rifle. His idea was, after he flew around for so long, he was going to take that BB rifle and pop some balloons and gradually make his way back to the ground. Anyway, he tied them helium balloons to his chair and with his peanut butter and jelly sandwich and bottle of water and BB rifle up under his arm, he told the men, he said, "Okay, men, cut me loose." And they cut him loose. And instead of flying 100 feet above the ground, he flew 1,000 feet above the ground. Airplanes was taking off and landing, and one airplane took off and saw something in the horizon. He radioed back to the tower and said, "I see something. I have no idea what it is." And pretty soon the airplane come flying beside John. John was scared to death. The pilot radioed back, "I believe it's John, sitting in a hammock chair, floating with balloons." And he was scared to death. He never one time touched that BB rifle. He never did take one bite of sandwich. He never did even open his bottle of water. But somehow, some way, they got him out of his chair and got him to a helicopter, and they landed the helicopter down on the helicopter pad. And by that time, the media knew about it. The media come. This is a true story, folks. I'm not making it up. The media come, and they said, "John, we heard you was flying in the air." And he said, "Yep." They said, "John, was you scared?" He said, "Yep." They said, "John, would you ever do it again?" He said, "Nope." And if someone asked him, he said, "Well, John, why did you do it to begin with?" And John said something. He said, "A man just can't sit here his whole life and do nothing." It'd be good for our church to get a hold of that. You just can't sit here your whole life and do nothing. There's something for all of us to be doing. Let's look here, if you would, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, and to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, and commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the season, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And while he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. These first 11 chapters of Acts chapter 1 should tell us something about our lives and tell us something to our hearts. I appreciate the word Holy Ghost mentioned. And my friend, we live in a time and age where the Baptist church is afraid to mention the Holy Ghost. Hey, my friend, that's how nervous I am about mentioning the Holy Ghost. I'm not scared one bit about the Holy Ghost. My friend, when I got saved, I was baptized into the Spirit of God, and the Holy Ghost come to dwell with me, to abide in me, to teach me and guide me in all truth. Hey, thank God for the Holy Spirit of God who will take God's word and teach God's children how to live for the Lord. I want you to notice what it says here in verse 8. And my friend, I'm going to try to take one little thought this morning and maybe apply it to our lives. It says here in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Notice what the Bible says. Ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses. That word witnesses gives us the term as meaning we have witnessed something. Maybe today if you go outside and you drive home and you witness a car wreck, you witness a car accident, and you pull over to the side of the road, and the state trooper or the police officer come, and he'll say, sir or miss, did you witness this wreck? And hey, you can say, I sure did. I've seen it with my physical eyes, all that took place. If you can say that, then you'll be a witness of what took place. The Bible says, ye are witnesses unto me. My friend, I want to preach this morning that we're a witness. What are we a witness of? What are we a witness of this morning? You're that saved by God's grace, us that has called on God's name for salvation, ask Christ to forgive our sins, ask the Lord to come in our hearts and life and save us. The Bible says that ye are a witness. What are we a witness of? I believe this morning, if you're saved by God's grace, you are a witness of a changed life. My friend, whoever God saves, God will change their life. Whoever God saves, God is too big to move into somebody like you and move into somebody like me and not to make a difference. One little girl asked his daddy, how tall do you think Jesus was? And he said, I don't know, about 6 foot tall. She said, daddy, how much weight do you think Jesus weighed? He said, I don't know, maybe about 150, 180 pounds. She said, well, if Jesus is 6 foot tall and weighs 150 to 185 pounds, when I got saved by God's grace, Jesus moved inside of me, didn't he? And the father said, yeah. She said, well, Jesus is that big and he moves inside of me. He should be sticking out somewhere, shouldn't he? I believe he should. If someone as big as God moves into the sinful heart of men, hey, my friend, God will make a difference. I'm looking around at people that I've known for 8 years, and I can swear up and down, my friend, I can promise you today that I've known people that has gotten saved within those 8 years, and God has made a dramatic change in their lives. I can look at my own life. I can look at my wife's life, and I can tell you God has made a change in my life. The Bible says you are a witness of these things. We're a witness of what Christ has done in our own lives. And beloved, you're the only one that knows if you're saved this morning. I can't look in your heart. I can't do a spiritual operation and take the scalpel of God and cut your flesh open and look in your heart and see if you're saved this morning. But beloved, you know without a shadow of a doubt if you've met Christ as your Savior. And you have no doubt, you have no misinterpretation of that. You know this morning, better than anybody else knows, if you're saved by God's grace. Now you can tiptoe through the tulips, you can prancy around, you can put on a mask of hypocrisy, and you can fool the preacher, you can fool the singers, you can fool the church, but you will never fool God, and you will never fool yourself. You know this morning, if you're saved, if God's made a difference in your life, and God has made a difference in every individual's lives that he's coming to. Everyone God saved, God has made some difference
in your life. Sister George, before I got saved, I knew nothing about God's word. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about church. Well, you think I'm ignorant now? You should have met me when I first got saved. I remember I got saved on July, and they had a watch night service on December 31st. I remember sitting on the second row right there. Preacher Larry stood up, and we had all the preachers, all the visiting preachers in our church, and of course we had some church members. And since I remember, all the visiting preachers, they sat here on the front row, and they sat here on the second row. And Preacher Larry stood up and said, "Hey, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. We're going to sing the first two stanzas. After that, we're going to have a time of fellowship and shaking hands." But I was a young man. I knew God was working in my life to call me to preach God's word. I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to be the first one to shake all those preachers' hands." I said, "Nobody's going to beat me to them. I'm going to shake their hands before anybody." They started singing Amazing Grace. I didn't know what a stanza was. I didn't know what a verse was. I know Preacher Larry opened a hymn book and sung Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hey, I took off out of my seat, and I come to the front row, and I shook off the preacher's hand. I said, "God bless you, good to meet you. God bless you, good to meet you." I come all the way down here, shaking all the preacher's hands, and by the time I got to Brother Steve gripped my hand and said, "Hey, do you notice anything?" I said, "What?" So nobody's shaking hands yet. I was the only idiot that got up and shook hands. Everybody else was still singing. But you know what? I know when I got saved, God made a difference in me. But I wasn't real smart. Not real smart now. Didn't know a whole lot about God's word. Knew nothing about how to conduct a church service, how to moderate a meeting, or how to do anything like that, my friend. But I knew when God saved me that God made a difference in me. And my friend, hey, no one had to show me how to dress, and no one had to show me how to talk, and no one had to tell me to read my Bible, and no one had to tell me to pray, and no one tell me to be faithful. I just knew those things to be done because God moved in my life, and God saved me, and God has made a difference, and God has made a change to all those who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What does God make a difference in? Turn, if you would, I believe, 2 Corinthians. Look at these few verses we have here. 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to stay there for just a little bit of time. Had to lay some groundwork before we get to the message. A changed life. What did God change when he come into you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Familiar verse with all of us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, not Preacher Scott, not the New York Times, not the Oprah Winfrey on TV, but the Word of God says this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that any man that be in Christ, in other words, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, when I got saved, I got in Christ, and Christ got in me. My friend, it's like the sponge in a bucket of water. Is the water in the sponge, or is the sponge in the water? You have to say both. The sponge is in the bucket of water, but the water also gets in the sponge. When I got saved, I got in Jesus, and Jesus got in me. And because he's in me, and I'm in him, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hey, thank God my sins is gone. Hey, thank God all my guilt is gone. Hey, thank God all my shame is gone. Hey, thank God every time I took God's name in vain, it's covered by the precious blood of Jesus. Hey, thank God every time you took a sip of beer and you plead the blood of Jesus, you got saved by God's grace. His blood covered all those beers you ever drunk. Hey, thank God, women, all the times you ever done something wrong, the day you got saved by God's grace, his blood cleanses us from all sins. His blood covers all sins. His blood makes sinners as white as snow. I want to tell you this morning, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hey, years ago, I sure won't be preaching God's word. I sure won't be in church, wearing a suit, screaming to the top of my lungs, telling others about how to be saved. 8 years ago, 4th of July, be laying out on the beach, half naked, drinking my beer, smoking my dope, and being happy. But today I'm in church, reading God's word, preaching God's word. I'm just as happy as I can be in Jesus. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Those old things that we had in the world has becoming to pass away. The Bible says if you be in Christ, you are a new creature. What changes our lives? God makes us a new creature in Him. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things has become new. I'm here to tell you, when I got saved by God's grace, hey, God gave me a different type of music to listen to. Hey, God gave me a different type of place to go to. Hey, God gave me some different clothes to wear. Hey, God gave me a different speech to talk. Hey, God gave me a different desire, my friend. I wasn't desiring to please the self or to please the world or to please the devil. I wanted to please the Lord. What happens in our lives when He changes us? Makes us a new creature. Makes us a new creature. Not only that, but He gives us a confirming heart. Look here, if you would, in verse 14. The Bible says here, Not a confirming heart, but a constraining love. The Bible says here, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You know what happened when you got saved by God's grace? Hey, God changed your life. God made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hey, He forgave your sins. He gave you eternal life. He gave you a place to go to one day called heaven. But what keeps us on the right path today? What keeps us serving the Lord today? What keeps us being faithful to God? It's because of His constraining love. Because of when I look at the cross of Calvary, I saw what Christ has done for me. I saw how Christ died for me and died as me on the cross of Calvary. So every time I look at Jesus, He constrains me to live for Him. See this hand? This hand that hold a butt dumber 9 years ago? You know what it can do today? It still can hold that same old bud dumber, but it don't want to because of the constraining love of Jesus. You see this hand? It held that Michelob low life. You know why I don't hold that Michelob low life no more? Because of the constraining love of Jesus. What happened when you got saved? He made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And His constraining love holds us back from what we would do. My friend, I want to live better than I do, don't you? I don't want to sin. Boy, I don't want to come short. I don't want to fail God. I don't want to disappoint my Savior. I don't want to stand before God one day and give an account and look back and have disappointments and regrets. So every time I look at the cross of Calvary, that constraining love shows me that my life has been changed. When I was a little boy, well, a young man, and people from this church would come to visit our children on the bus. Miss Faye would come driving that white Oldsmobile up our driveway. I'd say a few choice words and kick the back door open and go outside to the horse barn. I didn't want to be around her. I didn't want to be around that junk, she was going to say. Hey, thank God when you get saved, that's all you want to be around. I don't want to be around a filthy mouthed person anymore. I don't want to be around somebody that tells them filthy jokes and laughs. I don't want to be around that television set that uses cuss words and take God's name in vain. I don't want to be around them people anymore that halfway dresses and run around naked. Hey, I want to be around God's people. I'm part of God's family. And the Bible says that we are witnesses of a changed life. Notice this other thing, if you would, with me, if you will. Not only that, but we have a new compassion. The Bible says this for us. No, you don't have to turn it. I'll read it to you. The Bible says here for us in Jude chapter 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying always in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and some having compassion make a difference. You know what happens when God changes your life? He makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He gives you a constraining love, and then He gives you compassion that makes a difference. And my friend, a lot of that's lacking in our lives. We desire not to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. We want salvation, yes. We want to escape hell, yes. We want to go to heaven, yes. But we don't want to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. We don't want our lives to change. We want it to be us and our four and no more. We want it just like we want it. You know what we want? We want a Burger King religion. Have it your way. You go to Burger King, if you don't want cheese, tell them. If you don't want pickles, tell them. If you want bacon, tell them. If you don't want lettuce, you tell them. If you don't want onions, you tell them. They'll fix your hamburger any way you want it. And many times we come to God and say, God, I want you to save me, but I want to live my life just like I want to live it. I want to live it like I want to live it. And God, I don't want you to be in control, but I'm here to tell you, if you get saved by God's grace, hey, God will make a difference, and God will change your life, and God will make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, and God will give you constraining love. You know why I don't go out and rob a bank? I look around, I see people that needs money. I need money, you need money. You know why we don't rob a bank? Because of that constraining love. I love God too much. You know why I don't lay out of church? Because I love God too much. You know why I come to Sunday school? Because I love God. You know why I'm a witness for Christ? Because I love God. You know why I pass out a gospel tract? Because I love God. Not only because I love God, but because God's given me a compassion to love the world. Not to be friends with the world, but to love the world. My friend, I'm going to give you real quick three things that will give you a changed life. You want a changed life? The Bible says you're a witness of, you're a witness. You are witnesses. What are we a witness of? We're a witness of a changed life. My friend, I want to tell you, that's the only thing the world can see is your life. Is your life. My stepdaddy, he knew me before I got saved. And he knows me today. He'll tell you there's been a change in that boy's life. I've known my stepdaddy before he got saved. And I know him today. And I can tell you there's been a change in his life. I can't see his heart, but I can see his change. And the Bible says you are witnesses. We're a witness of a changed life. Real quick, let me give you these three things real quick. What would change our lives? I believe one thing that changed our life is a confirming heart. Turn here, if you would, to 1 John. You're in the book of Jude. Turn to 1 John, if you will. 1 John chapter 3. I want you to see these things this morning. We're going to go over them slowly, and we will go over them loudly. I want you to see everything I'm going to preach to you this morning, because, beloved, I'm looking around. I'm looking around at your life. You that said, I'm saved by God's grace. And you know what? I'm concerned. I'm concerned for some of you. Because your life has not been changed. Your life has not been changed. You're still fitting in with the world, and you're still fitting in with sin. And I look around, I wonder, what in the world's going on? Because God always makes a change. So why ain't the change taking place? The first thing that makes to make a change in your life is a confirming heart. Here in 1 John chapter 3, notice what the Bible says in verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. You know what this is saying? Look at what it says in verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. You know, my friend, you know what you've got to do? You've got to mark it down. You've got to nail it down that you've gotten saved by God's grace. Hey, you're not just playing church. Hey, you're just not dressing up, but you've got to mark it down. I know on a Tuesday night about 7:30, Preacher Larry took the King James Bible and told me I was a hell deserving, a hell bound, a hell lost sinner, on my way to a devil's hell, and all that I could do about it was just trust in Jesus Christ. And that Tuesday night, I bowed my knee, I confessed my sin, I asked God to forgive me my sin, I asked Christ to save my life, and my friend, I know within my heart that I'm saved by God's grace. Have I always done right? Have you? Have you always done right? Neither have I. But I know when I come short, and I sin against a holy and righteous God, I know in my heart I've trusted in Christ as my Savior. And my friend, that's all I could do. I could take you to the place. I could take you to the house. I could take you to the coffee table. But my friend, that house is going to be gone. That land is going to be gone. That coffee table is going to be gone one day. All I could do is tell you, hey, I took God's word at the face value, and I asked God with my heart to save me and forgive me my sins. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And beloved, that's what I've done on a Tuesday night. I called on God with my heart. I asked him to forgive my sins with my heart. Ask him to come to my life and save me with my heart, and that's exactly what he's done. How do you know you're saved this morning? It's not about how you feel. You don't feel good all the time. You have headaches and backaches. And you worry and struggle. Sometimes your mind don't want to think about Jesus. Sometimes your body don't want to live for the Lord. But how do we know we're saved? Sister, how do we know we're saved? We know we're saved with our hearts. Our hearts affirms to us that we've done what the Bible says to do to be saved. When we go to witness to somebody, I don't ask them to join this church. I don't ask them to put on a dress and put on a suit and come to church. I don't ask them to pay their tithes. I don't ask them to get the beer out the refrigerator. I don't ask them to get the pornography out of the house. I don't ask them to get the drugs from up under the mattresses. You know what I said? I said, if you're trusting Jesus, he'll save you today, and he'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And because God changes your life, he can get all that stuff out of it. He can get all that stuff out of your house. He can get all that stuff out of your life, and he'll make you a new creature. He'll give you a constraining love, my friend. He'll give you a confirming heart. And when you come short and you disappoint God, you'll still know, hey, I know that I'm saved by God's grace. You might not can see it, but I know. Because of what God's done in my life, I'm saved. I want to show you something else. How do we know we're saved? Because we have a confirming heart. What will make our lives change? If we know we got a coming Savior. Look here, if you would, in Acts chapter 1. I want to show you this. Here, Jesus Christ has spent 3.5 years with his disciples. He was crucified, buried, stayed dead for about 3 days, and resurrected from the grave. He walked on this earth for 40 days. He made a promise to his apostles, to his disciples, hey, you wait for the filling of the Holy Ghost. And my friend, after he ascended up in heaven, 10 days after that, he was in the upper room. About 120 people was in the other upper room, and they was in praying and being in one accord, and the Holy Ghost come and fill their room and fill their lives. But here's the promise he gave to them. Look here, if you would, in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye shall have seen him go into heaven. You know what changes my life, beloved? Not only a confirming heart, but a coming Savior. I know Christ could come in today. Hey, Jesus Christ could come back today. And beloved, if you're ready or not, here he comes. I'm ready. I'm saved. Heaven's my home. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready to see my Savior. I'm ready to see my loved ones that's gone on before me. I'm ready to see them old-timey preachers that preach the truth. Hey, my friend, what changes my life today is I know Christ is coming again. Boy, it's not no fairy tale. I've heard fairy tales when I was a little boy, but this is not a fairy tale. This is the truth. Here it is, two men stood by in white apparel and said, hey, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which was taken up you into heaven, so shall come in like manner after ye have seen him go. This same Jesus, the one that saved you, the one you're trusting in, the one that's been providing for you, this same Jesus is coming again. Beloved, are you ready today? Have you come back today, would you be ready? If you come back today, would you be ready to go to heaven? Or is there things you got to go back home and fix? Or is there things you got to go back home and do? Or my friend, I hope by all of God's grace, you don't have to do this. I hope you don't have to get saved, because if Christ comes back and you're not saved, you don't have a chance, beloved. You're going to die and go to hell because you can't trust in Christ. If you come back today, if he comes back today, he's going to rapture the church out. And all those, my friend, who rejected Christ and who has not been saved, the Bible says in Thessalonians, you'll believe a lie and be damned. You won't have a chance to be saved. I don't care what Joel Osteen says. If you missed the rapture, if you heard the truth and missed the rapture of the church, you will never have another opportunity to be saved. You might as well go ahead and take the mark of the beast. Get 666 stamped in your head, on your forearm. You might as well go ahead and live for the devil and die and go to hell. But you will not go to heaven. Are you ready today? What changes our lives? What changed my life? I realized Christ can come back anytime, any moment, any second. He could come back today. Are you ready? What else changes your life? I want you to see this. If you would, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says here, but ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. And it'll be both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. What changes your life? A confirming heart, a coming Savior, and a command from the Lord. You know what changed my life? When I read this verse, ye shall be witnesses. And I knew that was speaking to me. And church, I want to tell you today, if you're here and you're saved, God is speaking to you today. He wants you to be a witness. It's your responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I don't know your lives. I don't follow you home. I know a little bit about a lot of you. I know a lot about some of you, but I don't know everything. But me and my wife was talking the other day. I believe it was Thursday. And we was talking about church, and she asked me a question. She said, why ain't the church growing? Have you asked yourself that question? I've asked myself that question. Why ain't the church growing? You know what I said to her? Well, Jim, you know what I said? I said, I know the reason the church ain't growing. There's only two people out of 69 members that's ever witnessed for the Lord. You say, wait a minute, Preacher Scott, I invite people to church all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we sit down one-on-one and take the Bible and tell the person he needs to be saved and show them how to be saved. To my knowledge, there's only two people in this church that does that on a weekly basis. There's only two people in this church that goes out and finds someone that we know that's lost, and we don't just invite them to church, but we take God's word and tell them how to trust in Christ and why they should trust in Christ. And my friend, tell them they need to be saved. Here, God's given us a command. God's given you a command to go into all Jerusalem. That's where you live. And all Judea, that's down at the outsiding parts of where you live. And all Samaria, that's the surrounding parts of America and the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, hey, you've got to get the gospel out to the whole entire world. He said, it's your job. It's your job to witness to your neighbors, not just to invite them to church, not just, my friend, to invite them to a revival meeting, but it's your job. It's a command from God to be a witness for them and tell them how to be saved. Hey, thank God someone told me how to be saved. Hey, thank God someone came to my house and told me I was a hell-deserving, hell-bound, hell-lost sinner on my way to hell, and all I can escape it is the trust in Jesus Christ. He said, Preacher Scott, did I hear it? It sure did. He said, Preacher Scott, did you want to hear it? No, I did not. But hey, thank God I heard the truth and got saved by believing the truth. And today, beloved, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to tell you what changes our lives. It's a command from God, and God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. God's told every one of us that. What changes our lives? A confirming heart. Do you know you're saved this morning? That's where it all starts. Do you know you're saved? What changes our lives? A coming Savior. I know I have to stand beside him. Sister, one day I'm going to have to stand in front of them and give an account of what I've done. And what changed our lives? A command from the Lord. When I was a little boy, I'd tell you this, and we'd go. Mama and Daddy would leave the house for a little time, and Mama would say, all right, boys, when I'm gone, I want you to clean your room. You know what we'd say? When are you coming back? Because if she's going to come back at 5, then we'll get up about 4:30 and clean the room. If Mama's going to get back maybe about 6 o'clock that evening, then Brother Jamie, we'll wait till about 5:30 to start cleaning the room. You know, we'll play and sleep and eat all those things. And then right before she comes back, we'll start cleaning. And maybe we'll get it clean right before she gets back. You know what, beloved? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. But we do know he's told us to go and tell others about Jesus. So how are we doing? Has God changed your life? Do you know you're saved? Do you live like you're saved? And are you trying to lead others to the Savior? I hope you can say today, Brother Scott, I'm going to do all three. I'm going to know I'm saved by trusting in God's word. I'm going to live like I'm saved because I know Christ is coming back. And I'm going to lead others to the Savior because God's told me that's what I should do. It's not a suggestion. It's not even a conviction. It's a command. God says, "You are witnesses unto me, unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the precious word of God. How the word of God changes our lives and does what only you can allow it to do. Father, today I look around and I can honestly say I'm worried about some people in our church. Their attitudes has changed. Their motives has changed. Their service has changed. And it has not changed for the best. I'm worried about those who say they're saved by God's grace, but I cannot see a change that God has made in their life. Lord, today I pray we'll search our hearts. And God, we'll get down to the nitty-gritty of our lives and see what's actually taking place in our lives. Lord, help us to see today. Do we know without a shadow of a doubt we're saved? And if not, if someone don't know that today, I pray right now you'll speak to the heart about coming to this altar and getting that matter settled today, that they get saved today, they trust in Christ as their Savior today. And then I pray for us that knows we're saved, that we'll look at our lives and see, has our lives changed for the best? Now, we're not perfect, we're not sinless, but there is a change that God will make in everybody's life. Lord, help us today, I pray you would. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. If you will, let's stand to our feet with our head bowed and eyes closed. The invitation starts this morning. I want to ask you this question. The altar is open. You can come at any time. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you know you're saved this morning? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt, you've got a heart that's confirming to yourself right now, I've trusted in Christ as my Savior. I know I'm saved. If you know that this morning, won't you lift your hand up and say, "Preacher, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved by God's grace." Let me see your hand. Just hold it up real high. Thank God you could do that. God bless you. You can put them down. How about you that couldn't raise your hand? Would you be here this morning? Would you be willing to say, "Preacher, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to trust in Christ as my Savior. I need my life to change." If you're like that here this morning, I want you to come to this altar. If you're like that here this morning, I want you to come on. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You know who you are. God knows who you are. But I'm not going to ask you, would you come right now? There's people at this altar praying. They might be praying for you. If you're a man, I'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a woman, we've got other women in this church that can show you how to be saved. I want to ask you right now, while God's dealing with your heart, you know you're not saved. I want you to come right now. 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 If you know you need to be saved, won't you come on? The best thing you can do this morning is to give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ right now. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to be your Savior. The greatest thing you can do is to leave this church and know that you trusted God and trusted God's word and you're saved. And without a shadow of a doubt, if you die today, you know you'll go to heaven. Won't you come on? Beloved, if you're here today You raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved." You know what I'm going to ask you to do? Live like it. Live like it. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and despise the other one, or he'll cling to the one and hate the other. You can't serve yourself and serve God. You can't serve the world and serve God. You can't live for mammon and live for God. I've noticed in some of your lives, your attitude's been changing. Your work for God's been slowing up and being pushed on the back burner. Your heart's not being right with God. And I worry about you, beloved. I've been praying for you. But only you can make the difference. Only you can get things right with God and be the Christian that God saved you to be. She's playing on the piano, "Draw me nearer, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord." We all need to be drawn nearer to Christ. Father, thank you once again for your love, for the precious word of God. I'm not preaching for some popularity contest. I'm preaching to help people that their lives can be changed. And God, I appreciate everyone you brought this way, and I want everyone of them to know that I love them and I care for them. And the greatest thing I can do is to preach the truth to them. Lord, help us this morning to have a changed life, and that we'll be a witness of the change that God has made in us, that we'll let God push through and show out on our outside just as much as he is on the inside. Lord, I pray you'll save those who could not raise their hand. They've been saved. God, I love them and I care for them. I want to pray for them. And I pray, God, just speak to their hearts and get their hearts tendered and soft to the word of God, how they have come to trust in you as their Savior. Lord, help us today. God bless.